Well, today, as I've already said, we're going to continue a series called Victorious Secret. Victorious Secret. And it's always exciting to be able to talk about relationships. And in this series, we are looking at biblical secrets to having victorious dating, marriage, and sex. And again, it's our desire to share two things, truth and grace. Truth and grace. Some of you guys, if not all of us, come with some sort of maybe baggage from past relationships or something. And so here's what I want you to know. While we're going to speak truth into your life, and we may expose maybe some stuff in your life that you need to change in your relationship, we want to do that with grace in mind. Right? And I know I'm sounding repetitive, but I want to share that because there are people that may listen to this one message and they're thinking, well, the church is just judging me. I mean, the Bible just judges me. I mean, everything's, you know, judgmental. I mean, I know I'm a sinner. Stop telling me I'm a sinner. You know what I'm saying? But here's the truth. We're all sinners. We all need a Savior. We all need help in our relationship. And maybe you're here today and you are not in a good relationship. You're not. You're not in a good dating relationship. You're not. You don't have a good marriage. You are struggling. Can I just tell you this truth as well? God can repair any relationship. Mm-hmm. Amen? God can repair any relationship. You have the capability of having an amazing marriage, amazing dating relationship, because when you involve God, you have a 100% chance of having an amazing, victorious marriage and relationship. A 100% chance. There's no, I mean, again, some people go, I don't know if I can count on God. I don't know if he's going to pull through. No, he is 100% dependable.
That's right.
And you are not cursed because you have failed in another relationship. Some of you need to hear that. Again, I think sometimes we get caught up in, you know, again, and we don't have a perfect marriage, but we have a great marriage. But it could fail at any time if we don't continue to work at it. And we get caught up in, you know, we have parents who are still married. My dad and mom have been married, I don't know, 40-something, 50-something years. I can't remember.
40-something.
40-something. But your parents have been married?
Yep.
40-something years. And so again, we come from a long line of success. And I say that, I'm proud of that. But here's the truth, not everybody comes from that. And so just know that you're not cursed today. We could all be better at our relationships, and we all need Jesus to help us. Every one of us. The last few weeks, we've looked at how to have victorious dating. If you didn't listen to that one or weren't here for that one and you're a dating relationship, go online, listen to that one. Last week, we started our look at marriage again, and we looked at a couple things to have, you know, biblical secrets to have a victorious marriage. The first thing that we looked at was victorious marriages start and end with pleasing God, right? I mean, that's the, if you can get that, that's the foundation of every other teaching that we're going to share with you. If you don't get that, you can again, go through all the self-help type stuff and, you know, apply the practical stuff. But if you don't have a foundation that's built on Jesus Christ, it's worthless. I don't know. I mean, you may get along, you may, you know, have a good relationship, but it's not going to be great, and it's not going to be victorious. And when all hell breaks loose, you're not going to have anything to hold on to. I'm just telling you. Because you know why I know? Because I've seen it 100,000 times. I don't know about the 100,000, but I've seen it about 100. Maybe 1,000. Maybe 1,000. That was a pastoral exaggeration. Number two is this. Victorious marriages communicate, right? Victorious marriages communicate. And again, there are three keys that we shared. Victorious communication speaks the other person's language, not the language that we, you know, feel like, you know, we're good at. Does that make sense? And if you don't know, there's a book out called Five Love Languages. Buy it, read it, together as a couple. It's awesome. Number two is victorious communication cares. And again, we're going to talk about this a little bit more today. But if you want to communicate well with your spouse or, you know, whoever you're dating, then you have to care. How many of you guys struggle with caring sometimes what they're saying when they're talking? Come on, ladies, can you help us out too? I know it's just not a man thing. I mean, sometimes we all struggle with, you know, again, we don't want to listen because we just don't care. But the truth is, when I care about what she's going through, when I care about the struggles that she's dealing with, or the hurts, or the pains, or the passions, or the desires that she has, then we have a victorious marriage, right? When I don't, we have a not-so-victorious marriage. And so again, victorious communication cares. And then the third thing was, victorious communication tells the truth. And again, some of you guys are like, yes, I love that one, because I love telling my wife what's wrong. I love telling the truth because I can just tell her the truth. No, listen, it needs to be coupled with kindness. It needs to be done in the right tone, with the right words, and at the right time. Mm-hmm. Right? Can I get an amen on that? Mm-hmm. I mean, we all want to be honest, but at the same time, we don't want to be brutal. Okay? Well, here's the thing. Today, we're going to continue our look at biblical secrets for having a victorious marriage. And we're going to look at three more. We got three more. And so number three, again, we've talked about two. Number three is this. Here's the biblical secret that we're going to talk about today. Victorious marriages are romantic. And some of you guys are like, crap. Come on. I mean, how many of you guys struggle with being romantic? Come on. Guys, girls, guys, it doesn't matter. How many of you struggle with being romantic? I mean, we all do. I mean, think about it. When you were dating, it was easy to be romantic, right? Maybe some of you guys it wasn't, but it was easy for me. I thought about her all the time. I wanted to buy her something. Every time I went to the store, I'm a spender, so she got lots of gifts. But it was easy to be romantic. I mean, her birthdays were fun because I would be romantic and I would do these things for her on her birthday. Our engagement, I mean, it was amazing. I mean, we got to ride a horse, you know, up to Gobbler's Knob. I mean, I had ice cream, which is the way to her heart.
Amen.
It was romantic. And again, so here's the thing. But once we get married, what happens? The romance goes woo-hoo, down the drain, right? I mean, and again, we wonder why. Well, here's the thing. I mean, we could use all kinds of excuses. We don't have time. We don't have the money. We don't have a babysitter. But here's the truth. Romance matters. It matters. And I'm talking to myself today, by the way. Because I struggle with this as well. And you say, well, what does it mean to be romantic? Well, women are thinking, candlelight dinner, a good conversation, a walk on the beach. Men are thinking, hot and holy sex. Can I get an amen on that? I mean, seriously. I mean, that's just the way we're wired, right? I would say it needs to be both. Can I get an amen? You need to have a long, beautiful conversation, and then you need to have a little fun. But here's the thing. Romance starts with knowing what is romantic with your spouse to her or to him. Does that make sense? And you say, well, how do I do that? You ask questions. You say, well, what is romantic to you? Because again, going fishing may not be romantic to her. Going out and working calves, I love it. It's romantic, but it's not romantic to her. Does that make sense? And so again, you've got to ask questions. You've got to, you know, again, get ideas and then do what they think is romantic, not what you think is romantic. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so I'll give you a few definitions and we'll give you a few keys on what romance is. Number one, romance isn't necessarily the act of being romantic, but it's the meaning and the thought behind it. Does that make sense? I mean, you can do all this stuff and, you know, again, and it's cool to, you know, plan those dinners and take them on big dates and all that stuff. But really, what I've learned, it's the meaning behind what I do. It's that I thought about it and I actually took time to plan it that means more than what I planned. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? And so, again, that's practical, but that's the good stuff. And number two is it needs to be self and
You're struggling today, aren't you?
I know. I need something. I need a shot of whiskey or something. Loosen up my... Do you have any?
No.
I'm just kidding. I'm playing. But it needs to be self-initiated. Here's the thing. If your wife or your husband have to nag you, we need to go out on a date. We haven't been on a date. You know, what are we going to do? We need to plan an anniversary dinner. I mean, if they have to nag you, then it's not romantic. Right? And so, again, it needs to be self-initiated. I don't have to be reminded. I shouldn't have to be reminded to be romantic. I have to be reminded, but I shouldn't. I said that right?
You did.
I mean, I did. I said that right. So again, it needs to be self-initiated.
Okay, and I think we have a picture, just an example of, this was, wow, my face is, we're really, would I have a mouth in that
picture? I
think
we're ghosts, Matt. It's all right, Matt.
This was back when we were dating. It was for my birthday, I think my 22nd birthday or
22nd. Like, 22nd. She wasn't in my youth group, see? We were dating.
Yeah. So this is when I was in college, and Bo, for my birthday, he surprised me out on his deck, and he had lights up and candles, and he had gotten KFC. So if you can't cook, just buy KFC and have ice cream.
Ice
we had
cream.
Ice cream KFC. Sundays. Yeah.
And I think I served it on actual, you know, ceramic plates.
Yeah.
I don't think it was paper.
Maybe. I don't remember that part.
I don't either.
Anyways, we had he had music going and everything. It was just a very romantic evening. And
see
so
all those
very,
lights? I even put
sweet.
Lights around the back porch there. Can you see that? I mean, that is awesome.
Yeah. And so he put a lot of thought into it, a lot of effort.
See what's on the floor right there? That's a picnic basket. You see that right there? So
yeah.
We did. We served it on like plastic plates. Came out of the picnic basket. You remember that? I think we sold that in the garage sale.
That's
dang
bad.
It.
We need to get that but back. It meant a lot because he thought of it. He did all the work. It was very, very sweet. But the third thing is that romance communicates that you care. Again, it shows that you value your spouse. It builds self-esteem in your spouse, I think, as well, to just let them know that your husband or wife cares about you, and it shows them that they're important.
Yeah, it shows them that they're important. Here's number four. Romance is verbal. It's verbal. I call it verbal intercourse. Yeah, you guys will remember that. Write that down. That's good right there. Can I get some clapping on that? I mean, you never heard that word in church before, but that's called, I call it verbal intercourse, and I'm not saying talk dirty. Some of you guys are like, yeah, I like that. Come on, talk dirty to me, baby. But here's the thing. I'm talking about talking pleasantly and talking kindly to your spouse, right? Again, romantic is verbal. Men especially, listen, you need to hear this, because when you talk romantic with your wife, when you say she looks beautiful, you know, her hair looks good today, I love those earrings on you, your butt is tight, you know, I mean, is that bad?
No.
That's why I always run with my wife, and she's so much faster than me because I get to run behind her. That's my excuse. I could smoke you any day.
You always run with me? Really?
No, I don't always. The one time I ran with her, I ran behind her. But here's the truth. It's verbal. Again, it's not just, again, hey, I'm going to buy you a dinner. Hey, let's go out. You know, I'm going to buy you these roses. No, it needs to be verbal. I'll give you an example. And again, this is straight out of the Word of God. Solomon that wrote the Song of Solomon, or the Song of Songs. Listen to what it says. He's talking about his wife, and he says in Song of Solomon chapter 7 verse 6, it says, "How beautiful and how pleasant you are, O loved one, with all your delights." Again, romantic. And then he goes on in the first part of that chapter, and he says, "How beautiful your sandaled feet, prince's daughter. Your graceful legs are like jewels, the work of an artist's hands. Your navel..." This is fun. I've never complimented your navel. I need to do that.
That's okay.
Your navel is a rounded goblet that never lacks blended wine. Your waist is a mound of wheat encircled by lilies. How cool is that? And the best part, your breasts are like two fawns, like twin fawns of a gazelle.
It's in the Bible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's straight out of the Bible. And you think, well, you know, oh, we shouldn't say those things. God, can I just tell you, God's not blushing.
And right? The thing about this, too, is when he was courting her before they were married, he complimented her, but he complimented her appropriately.
Yes.
I mean, you'll notice he talked about her eyes and her nose, I think.
Yeah.
Things like that. He didn't move. And as he, you know, and then when they got married and she was his lover, then he was able to compliment her however he wanted to. So I think that is really a neat illustration of how, you know, there's appropriate things to do and say when you're dating, and then there's totally appropriate things when you're married. So
absolutely. And again, Solomon, again, he uses his words to romanticize his wife, right? I mean, to show her that he loved her. And wives, can I just say this as well? Men need your verbal communication as well. Is that true? Men, can I get a little something? Amen. Can I just get an amen?
Well, and then another thing we can point out too is after he complimented her, she took him to the countryside for an evening of lovemaking.
Of whoopee.
Yeah.
That's right.
So just keep that in mind, men and women.
So listen. Yeah, so that's good. And so again, the romance for the wife starts again verbal, you know, serving her. Again, I always say that sex starts in the kitchen. You know why? Because when you do the dishes, when you clean up after yourself, when you do all those things, again, that shows her that you love her, and then she's going to take you out in the country.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
That's right. That's good stuff right there. I like that. You say, well, how do I communicate love? Again, it can be verbally, and if you're, I would say it needs to be all of these things. Leaving notes is a good thing. I mean, if your husband or your wife, you know, takes a lunch to work or whatever, leaving notes, maybe putting them on their dash, you know, putting them on the mirror. We have a dry erase board in our shower. This is cool. And sometimes we'll leave notes in the shower on that dry erase board. Now our kids can read, and so I have to clean up my language.
This is true.
I've got to go, man, I shouldn't say that, but, you know, because my daughter, she's 7 or 8 or whatever. So anyways, we have a dry erase board in our shower, and maybe we'll write little love notes to each other. You can send a text during the day. Again, that's romantic. That's awesome. But here's what I desire. And again, my wife, she sent me, you know, fun texts. She sent me fun sex, you know, not sex.
Gosh.
Fun text, but here's the thing. When she just looks me in the eye and tells me that I'm a great guy, that's all I need. So again, maybe you need to ask questions and say, what's romantic to you? Is it leaving notes? Nope. I want you to just tell me. Look me in the eye and tell me. So again, ask questions. So romantic is verbal. Here's fifth thing. Romance includes good manners. I mean, some guys, they don't notice that they just farted at dinner. You know what I'm saying? I'm just going to be honest with you. Some guys, you know, they'll belch louder, you know, out in public than they do at home. I mean, again, you think, well, that doesn't mean anything. My wife's cool with that. Probably not. I mean, again, probably not. My wife is so sweet, and she would probably never say, you know, you're being inappropriate and, you know, say that. But at times, I know I am. Does that make sense? And I know it doesn't show her. It just doesn't work.
Romance.
It doesn't show a romance. Number six is this. Romance is a sacrifice after the honeymoon. You with me? I mean, again, the romance before the honeymoon, romance on the honeymoon is awesome. It's fun. Maybe the first year is still the honeymoon. But then the second year and the third year and the fifth year and the 20th year and the 30th year, it becomes a sacrifice. But guess what? It is worth it. It's worth it. Time, money, you know, effort, all those things. Planning a getaway, you know, getting tickets to his or her favorite, you know, music artist, buying her flowers and actually giving her a big old kiss and giving her those flowers. I mean, again, it takes sacrifice at some point in your marriage, but it's worth it. It's worth it. And you say, well, why? I mean, what is the purpose of romance? Here's what it does. It keeps your marriage alive. It really does. I mean, that's good stuff right there. It keeps your marriage alive because here's the thing. I deal with people all the time and they go, I just don't have any feelings for my, you know, wife. And I just don't have any feelings for, you know, my husband. I've fallen out of love with them. And I'm just like, okay, again, when was the last time you took her on a date? When was the last time you told her that you loved her? When was the last time you just gave her a kiss to give her a kiss? When was the last time you bought her something nice that she really likes? Again, you want to sit there and whine about, we don't have any spark, we don't have any of this. No, listen, it takes work. Mm-hmm. It takes sacrifice. It takes effort. All the time. Not all the time, but a lot of the time, that's what it takes. And so, again, that's the purpose.
And I think, too, it sets a good example for your children.
Yeah.
You know, Bo always opens the door for me and for Madeline. And so I think that, you know, he's teaching our sons to be a gentleman, open the door for his girlfriend or whatever, for any girl. Last night, here's something that's very romantic. Last night, we went to Walmart, and I sat in the car, and Bo and all three kids went in and did the grocery shopping. How awesome is that? And they came out with flowers for me. Yeah. And I think it was Hank's idea.
It was my son's idea.
So
my
see,
son.
they see what their parents do, and then they redo that.
Yeah.
Duplicate that.
Duplicate that.
Yeah. So you might be thinking, well, my marriage is dead romantically. How do I get that back? And the answer is to start dating again, to rekindle what brought y'all together. I know a lot of times, you know, unfortunately, marriages get to the point where you think, you know, we don't have fun together. We don't, you know, have anything to do together. And so think about what drew you to that person in the first place and redo that. I mean, there was something that you liked, obviously, or you wouldn't have ended up married. But so the key to romance is having fun.
Yeah.
Some of the most romantic times that we've shared have been times that we've just gone and done something fun together. Like our first date, we went and ate with a couple of friends of Beau's, and we had a great time. And then we went to a horse sale for our first date.
Romance right there.
He took me to a horse sale, which was great because, you know, at that point you're like, I'll do whatever you want to do because we're, you know, really like each other. And so
you didn't go because you really meant it? You just did what I wanted to do?
I just wanted to be with you.
Oh, good.
That was all that matters. But then he took me to Brahms afterwards, and so we shared a banana split. So that was the highlight of
the date.
We did something that he loved, and then we did something that I loved. So we started compromising from the first date, right?
Absolutely.
So it's important to realize that having fun is not a luxury, it's a requirement for a victorious marriage. Ecclesiastes 9:9, it says, enjoy life with your wife, whom you love. And I think this could go both ways, you know, enjoy life with your husband as well. So have fun doing something that your spouse enjoys, and then, you know, do something that you enjoy too. So like an example of this, like Bo said, he likes to go work calves. And so a lot of times we'll make it a family affair, and all the kids will go, and we'll watch him, and we'll chip in and do whatever we can to help as well. And then, you know, like building corrals.
Yeah.
That's something Bo thinks is fun.
It is romantic.
And so.
Romantic is welding.
Yeah.
When your wife's cutting with a torch. I mean, really.
Right. And it's not my favorite thing to do, but I have prayed and asked God to help me to have a better attitude about it. And so I'll go out there, and he's gotten better about not making me feel like I have to go out there and help. And so I'll go out and just show up and help him. And so that speaks love to him. And then something that he does that I like to do is, you know, he'll come and like if I'm, you know, doing a long run or something, he'll bring me water. He'll bring the kids, and they'll come drive down the road. And if any of you run long, you know that sometimes it's a lonely journey.
Right.
And so it's nice to have like just a person show up and say, hey, how are you doing? How are you feeling? And, you know, and your kids, you know, just think you're awesome and are waving at you and bringing you water and all that good stuff. So he'll come and support me in that. Some things that we like to do together, we like to go to the movies. We like to shop. Bo likes to shop with me.
I do.
We like to go to the gym. So we enjoy we have a lot of fun, I think.
One of the things I've learned about my wife is she likes it when I pick things out for her. Any of you ladies like that? When your husband will actually pick things out? Yeah.
Yeah, like you go into the store and he's like, here, do you like this? Want to try this?
Yeah.
This is what I like.
And I feel like a loser because I'm the only guy doing that. But I do it because I love my wife.
That's right.
Right? Help me out, guys. Come on.
Go ahead.
But again, I mean, that's what's romantic to her. And so I desire to show that I love her.
And I think, again, we need to pursue each other. Having date nights is something that we have to make time to do. A lot of times our schedules fill up really quickly, and before we know it, we don't have a night where we can actually just go out or whatever. And so if your marriage is a priority, you need to make that time. You need to schedule it. You need to get a babysitter. And it can even be just something. It doesn't have to be expensive. It can just be going for a horseback ride. It can be just going for a walk or having a picnic or whatever. But just getting that time carved out, we're able to be alone and just connect emotionally is a great thing. And so if you don't plan it, chances are it's not going to happen. And then this is another key thing. So if you're taking notes, romance is not what you can make happen. It's what you can keep making happen.
Yeah.
So I have stories from this weekend, not just from when I was 22. That wasn't the last time that Bo did something romantic. That was great, but it's not going to last me for the next, you know, 30 years or whatever. So it's what we can keep making happen.
Yeah.
So. And then go ahead. Well, and as moms too, I think sometimes we feel like we're neglecting our kids. You know, if we ever send them to a babysitter, or, you know, especially if they've been in daycare all day, and you're like, oh, I feel horrible for, you know, having a babysitter and having a date night. And really, the greatest gift that we can give our kids is to show them what an awesome marriage looks like.
Yep.
And so know that you're doing them a favor, and they're probably gonna have more fun with a babysitter than they would have with you anyways.
Right.
So just realize that it's a great thing to show them an example of a great marriage.
So yeah, victorious marriages are romantic. Number four is this: victorious marriages are healthy. And you say, well, what's that mean? I mean, isn't all this stuff healthy? Now, again, I've prayed about this, and I've asked God to give me, you know, the words, and so hopefully they come out right. But here's the thing. When I talk about being healthy, I'm talking about being physically healthy. I'm not just talking about spiritually, even though the physical affects the spiritually. And so, again, I believe that when I'm physically healthy, I can love my wife more. You get it? I mean, does this make sense? And again, I'm not saying, ladies, listen, I'm not saying that you have to be a two, you got to wear a size two, and, you know, you got to look, you know, all, you know, like these Cosmo magazines and all this other stuff. That's not what I'm talking about. Guys, I'm not talking about you having to have a six pack, you know, or and you look really awesome, or your wife is going to walk out on you. And I'm not talking about any of that. What I am saying is that you should care for yourself and be physically healthy, okay? And you say, well, how do I do that? Well, not indulging in unhealthy eating habits. Again, this is something I struggle with because, again, I can, I mean, when that bread comes out at Diardi's, anybody been there? I could eat like seven of them. I'm like, bring me another basket. Bring me another basket. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I could eat all of it. Or you know, again, it maybe not just food, but you guys, some of you have some toxic habits. And what I'm talking about is you smoke, you dip, or you drink way too much. And this is, again, it's something that, you know, you think, well, I just want to do that, or I just want to, you know, I can't get out, you know, rid of that. Here's the thing, you can get help. We can help you. And if you've tried a number of times, again, there is a God that can help you, overcome anything in your life. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. I'll give you some examples. My buddy Kevin brought this to me last Monday when I was at the gym, and I want to share with you a stat or two about obesity, okay? And you say, well, what's this matter? Well, it matters. You know why? Because there is a literally growing problem in our state. And I'll give you some statistics. In the Oklahoman, there's going to be a five-part series on obesity, and I want to share you some statistics. Oklahoma is the sixth most obese state. Sixth. One in three Oklahomans are obese. Nationally rankings, fruit consumption, we rank 50th in fruit consumption. Vegetable consumption, we rank 44th. I'm just telling you. Physical activity, we rank 44th. 44th in physical activity. The death rate, because of those things, the death rate due to heart disease, we are the third highest in the death rate because of that. We are due to diabetes, we are the fourth highest. And so again, this shows us that there is a problem. And you say, well, why do you share all that? I mean, again, this isn't, this isn't some self-help, you know, try to eat better, you know, eat organic or you're going to die kind of thing. But no, here's the thing. If I'm physically healthy, again, I'm going to be able to serve my wife, my children, my job. I'm going to be able to do everything better. And again, you say, well, what, is it just about food? No, you may, again, have a bad habit of maybe smoking. You may have a bad habit of, you know, dipping or, you know, drinking too much again, or drinking pop. How many of you guys have a pop addiction? Yeah, we're not just picking on the, you know, other things. But here's the, and I'm going to get personal, and this is just my personal opinion. This has no probably biblical standing. But if I believe that there is nothing probably wrong with me smoking a stogie over a game of poker. That's just me. But if I was to smoke two packs a day or one pack a day or, you know, 15 cigarettes a day, that's wrong. That's just my opinion. You know why? Because I mean, again, maybe I'm getting too far, but here's the other thing. If I drink a pop, like I love root beer, if I drink one out when we eat out at a dinner, maybe once or twice a week, I think it's awesome. But if I drink seven a day or four a day, which I could do, then that's probably not healthy. Does that make sense? You know, again, a cold beer at Texas Roadhouse for me is not an issue. But if I drink a 24-pack, if I drink a 12-pack, again, there's some sin issues that are going on there as well. Does that make sense? And so, again, I'm just telling you my opinion. Most of the time, when it comes to physical activity, it's the men, I'm picking on myself, the men that don't give a flip about themselves. Oftentimes, and many is the case, that the men put the pressure on their wife to stay physically fit and to keep their figure even after three kids, and the men gain 50. Anybody with me? Anybody with me? I mean, that's just the truth. And so again, men, listen, you need to, you know, focus in on yourself as well. Here's what I've learned, and my friend Tracy over here, she helped me learn this the other day at lunch. I believe this is true. Unhealthiness is selfish. I think it is. You know why? Because here's the thing. If I put my body at risk, if I smoke and if I drink too much and if I eat and I'm a glutton and I eat all this, you know, junk food all the time, if I do that, I'm risking a disease. I'm risking diabetes, I'm risking all those things. And not only am I going to maybe face a horrible disease or death, but my wife's going to have to endure it as I go through it. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? And so again, you think, well, I eat all kinds of junk food. I do too. I'm not telling you that I don't. You're going to see me afterwards and I might get a sopapilla. You know what I'm saying? But here's the truth. If I eat 7 sopapillas, or if I go home and eat 7 double stuffed cookies and milk, anybody with me? Double stuffed? Come on now. then again, I can't be the man that I need to be for my wife. Does that make sense? And we're not picking on people that are big boned. we're not picking on people that have just big, you know, you're just a big bodied person. We're not saying any of that. Don't go walk out of here and say, Bo just wants skinny, cute people to come to church. No, listen, we like the hardy men. We don't want you blown away in the wind because you're so frail. But you know what I'm saying? Again, I think the fact is, again, if I care about my spouse, then I'll eat healthy. If I care about myself, I'll eat healthy.
I think what you're saying is the extreme. Avoid extremes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and if and I think a practical thing is like I could eat a whole gallon of ice cream in one sitting.
Amen.
And so I just don't even buy it and have it at the house. So that's where my willpower comes in. It's at the grocery store is where my willpower kicks in. And I know Bo struggles with, you know, candy or whatever, so I won't buy. I don't bring home. Because I could eat one miniature Reese's and be good to fill, you know, to cover my sweet tooth. But Bo could eat the whole package.
Yeah, on top of ice cream. With a little chocolate syrup and a brownie.
The willpower comes at the grocery store.
I like the Slurpees. Anybody like Slurpees or Icy's? Come on now. Reese's, I could eat the king size. Just telling you, I'm confessing my sin before you people.
And so you might say, well, you know, well, why do we share all that? Well, God cares about our health.
Yeah.
And he wants us to care about ourselves and our spouses so that we can live a healthier life. But first of all, our body is a temple of God. In 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, it says, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body." The second thing is your body is not your own, but it's your spouse's also. So 1 Corinthians 7:4, it says, "The wife's body does not belong to her alone, but also to her husband. In the same way, the husband's body does not belong to him alone, but also to his wife." And the third thing is being physically healthy helps protect your marriage. Again, like Bo said, when we're physically healthy, like when we're eating better and exercising, you have more energy to give your spouse. You have more energy to give your kids. You have more energy just to pour into your life, period. And you also have a better self-esteem. I know when I'm taking care of myself, I feel a lot better than when I go and indulge in things that aren't great. It's a temporary kind of satisfaction, I guess, very temporary, but I think you have better self-esteem. And also, you're showing that you care about your spouse and you want to be your best for them when you try to live a healthier lifestyle. We should desire to look good for our spouse. I mean, again, not taking it to that extreme, but just desiring to be healthy and feel well.
I'll say this as well. Because I have people that come to me and they say, "Why am I so short with my wife? Why am I so, you know, angry all the time? Why am I so, you know, just a jerk half the time?" And I want to say, you know, how are you physically? Again, people want to make it a spiritual problem, and part of it is a spiritual problem, if not all of it sometimes, but it can be a physical problem as well. Here's the truth. When I don't get good sleep, I'm a crab. Anybody? Yes. I mean, seriously, so you think, well, why can't I, you know, play with my kids without wanting to kill them? You know, because again, maybe you haven't slept. Maybe you need to, you know, think about that again. Maybe you need to go to bed earlier. Maybe you need to, you know, again, get up earlier. Whatever you need to do to exercise. Again, we're not saying that you got to be, again, you know, a runway model or anything like that. We're just saying be physically healthy because you care about yourself and you care about your spouse. It's just a challenge. And I'm in that same challenge.
So the fourth thing was victorious marriages are healthy. And the last one for today is the fifth. Victorious marriages have godly friends. And this is huge. This is a really big deal. But 1 Corinthians 15:33, and you need to write this verse down if you aren't taking notes. But it says, "Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character." And I think that we need to surround ourselves and surround our marriages with godly influence, with godly friends, because it's easy when you have ungodly friends and you're going through this horrible fight with your husband or whatever, and you go to your girlfriend and you tell him what's going on, for them to say, you know, he doesn't deserve you. You need to just get out. You need to do whatever you want to do. You need to do whatever makes you happy. And they make it all about just what you want or what they think you want to hear. And this advice will destroy your marriage. And so you need to surround yourself with godly friends.
Yeah, and for the guy, I think, again, you may not hear those things, but you may hear, you know, there's other women. I mean, she's not treating you right. Just, you know, get rid of her. Or let's go to the strip bar and let's just enjoy ourselves. That'll help you get over what you're going through. Or, you know, the boys at the bar, they won't treat you like she does. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so, again, when you have ungodly friends that are going to give you sorry advice about how to have a great marriage, you need to, again, at some point, you need to distance yourself from them. And we're not saying don't have unchurched friends. Obviously, that's what we're all about. I mean, our church is built on reaching unchurched people. But listen, if you go to get advice from someone who doesn't love Jesus and is going to tell you what you want to hear, then you probably don't need to seek their advice. Mm-hmm. Because here's the truth. I've never known anybody that wanted to have a divorce. Never known anybody, I want to have a divorce. But when they go to somebody that's had 7 divorces and they ask their advice, it's just not wise. Does that make sense? It's not wise. You don't want their relationship, so why would you ask their advice? And so godly friendships make a big difference.
Unless they've turned their life around.
Absolutely.
They can obviously say, man, you don't want to walk that path. I've walked that path and this is what it's like.
Yeah.
But now I'm walking with the Lord and he's blessed. You know, so I think it also depends on where they're at currently.
Yeah.
But and godly friends, they tell you the truth whether you want to hear it or not. How many of you have a great friend that will speak truth into your life whether you want to hear it or not? Right?
Yeah.
That's great. They'll tell you to go home. Go back to your husband.
Yeah.
Go home to your wife. Get out of here.
I got friends that I think would punch me. I mean, really, they would enjoy it. Mm-hmm. They would just probably punch me in the face and be like, "You're an idiot.
Yeah.
Get your butt home."
I've had friends tell me I need to get my big girl panties on and just...
Big girl panties?
Yeah, grow up.
What do those look like?
I don't know.
I'm just kidding.
Guess they were just saying, quit whining.
Who was that friend? Because I might need to call her.
That was Jenna.
Jenna, good.
But see, she's in Texas, so she has to just tell me over the phone.
Yeah.
But you need friends that are going to tell you to fight for your marriage, and that advice will help you to have a victorious marriage.
Absolutely. So again, pleasing God first, communicate, be romantic, be healthy, and then have godly, supportive friendships. There's some awesome things. I mean, those are biblical secrets to having victorious marriage. Let's pray together. You guys bow your head and close your eyes for just a second. How many of you guys would say, you know, again, what I struggle with right now in my own personal relationship and obviously in our marriage, two is putting God first. How many of you guys would raise your hand? Nobody's looking around. But how many of you guys would say, you know what? Putting God first in my marriage is my struggle. Yeah. Thank you. How many of you guys would say, you know what, Bo? Our struggle is our communication. We struggle with communication. We don't do that very well. Yeah. All across the barn as well. How many of you guys would say, you know what, Bo? You brought up a great point, and we never really even thought about this whole romantic idea, and we struggle with the romance. How many of you guys would raise your hand and say that? Yeah. And then again, how many of you guys would say, you know what, I mean, again, I have not looked after my own body and taken care of my own body, and I need to do that better. Anybody struggle with that? Yeah, I'm raising my hand as well. How many of you guys, and this is, again, the last thing that we talked about, how many of you guys would say, you know what, I have sought advice from some pretty unwise people, and I need to have more godly relationships or friendships? Yeah, all across the room. Well, here's the thing. If you want to have a victorious marriage, if you want to have a victorious dating relationship, if you want to have victorious sex once you get married, then again, you have to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's where it starts. And so maybe you're here today and you've been trying to do all these things on your own. You've been trying to, you know, again, change on your own, but you have realized that you can't do it. Here's the truth. When you give your life to Jesus Christ, the pain and all the struggle, it doesn't necessarily go away, but He will walk through it with you. He will give you the strength to forgive your spouse. He will give you the strength to forget what has happened in your past and to be able to move forward. And so my challenge to you today, again, as we close this out, if you don't know Jesus personally, that's where you need to start. You say, well, how do I do that? Well, here's the thing. The Bible says that if you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Lord of your life, and you will believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. You say, well, what's that word mean? What's that saved word mean? It means that you have turned a new page in your life, and because Jesus will come into your life, you will become a new creation. He will make you new. Your past will be wiped away. Your sins will be forgiven. And again, He will come into your life, and the Holy Spirit will come into your heart and begin to guide you in the right path. Again, be able to control your mind, control your heart, and lead you into victory rather than into failure. And so maybe you're here today and you need to do that. Right in your chair right there, you can just pray in your heart, Lord, I confess my sin to You. I know I'm a sinner. And I know that You died on a cross so that I could be forgiven. And so please come into my heart right now. Listen, if you just prayed that, we are excited for you. That is the greatest decision that you will ever make. And we want to, again, celebrate that with you. Here's all we ask you to do. If you made that decision, or maybe it's something else, maybe you need to, you know, rededicate your life. You need to start over and make a recommitment of your experience with God through Christ. Maybe you need to just fill out that orange card and say, you know what, I need help. Listen, if you make a decision or have made a decision, if you have questions, if you need answers, again, fill out that orange card, place it in one of these yellow buckets, and we will contact you and we will help you in whatever way we can. Do not leave here feeling like you're alone, because you're not. Here's the other thing. Again, you say, I don't have an orange card. Just text your name to the number on the screen and we will contact you. It's that simple. You don't have to, you know, write a paragraph. You don't have to explain yourself. Just text your name and we will contact you. Listen, we rejoice that again, that you've decided to come on this snowy day to learn more about what God wants for your life. And our prayer is that you would walk away with the tools to have a victorious relationship and marriage. And I know that's what God wants too. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to close this in a word of prayer. We're going to be dismissed. And we appreciate you coming. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the opportunity to open up your word and to share biblical truths that can change our lives. That aren't just, you know, head knowledge, but they will change our attitudes. They will change our hearts. They will penetrate into our minds, and they will change us from the inside out. And Lord, today, as we talk about these practical things, like romance or staying healthy or, you know, just communication, I pray that we would not just walk out of here going, oh, that was great, but we would walk out of here changed. We would walk out of here seeking to care more about you and what you want for our lives, and caring more about our spouse. And so, Lord, thank you that you've given us the tools to do that. And we give you all the glory. It's in your holy name I pray. Amen.
didn't cheat and I didn't lie, so her leaving took me by surprise. Just a note on.
Thank you for listening to this message. We hope to see you next Sunday at the Woodward Livestock Auction at 9 a.m. or 10:30 a.m.